is a briefing on the proposed changes to the neighborhood contact requirement. We have Sarah Wright here from BPS, and she'll be doing the presentation. Thank you and welcome.
Thank you for having me. So I have a very brief presentation. I think it's a little glorified to call it a presentation, but I just want to walk you through this project and where we are in this draft. This project is a little bit, it's sort of in an awkward state. We're between the discussion draft. Comments on that have closed. We'll be releasing a proposed draft to expect at the end of June, and we have a hearing with the Planning and Sustainability Commission tentatively scheduled for mid-August. So that's where we are in the timeline for this project. So the current neighborhood contact requirement that's in the zoning code now is triggered by kind of a hodgepodge of different places in the code. When that requirement is triggered, it all has to happen before the applicant comes in to submit an application for a permit. The applicant must request a meeting with the local neighborhood association. The neighborhood association has 14 days to respond. If they respond and say, yes, we would like you to come and talk to us about this, then the applicant has to come to the meeting and present about the project. So, and if that meeting is held, the applicant sends a follow-up letter to the neighborhood association and the district coalition, and then the application can be submitted. So that's the current requirement. So this is currently the new comprehensive plan updates that took effect on May 24th. With those changes, a whole new category of projects will now be triggering this. So it'll be mixed use projects that have more than 3 units or 10,000 square feet of new development are now triggering this requirement. So that's bringing on a lot more projects that weren't that wouldn't have triggered it before. So when that change was made, we were asked to review this particular piece of the code to kind of see what's working and what's not working and bring some proposed changes. So the things we were really looking at trying to solve are to broaden the reach of the notice. And right now, you know, generally I think we have kind of a feeling that there's kind of a common courtesy element that's missing, where people, when something is changing in your neighborhood, people would like to at least get a heads up, even if, as is the case in most of these projects, there isn't any process by which they can actually change the project. Even if it's by right development, it's still nice to know before things start getting torn down that something's happening. So right now, the people who have that opportunity to learn about projects are the people who are in the communication network of a neighborhood association that has a land use chair who is on top of things and has time to process stuff that's coming in and is like in town during that key 2 weeks. So that universe of people is pretty small. And we would like there to be a broader range of people who at least find out that something's happening. So that was kind of the top issue. We also want to make the process more consistent and predictable so that you know how long it's going to be between meeting the requirement and when you can submit your application. And so there's a consistency across the city. Right now it's like projects in one part of the city might trigger, whereas the same project in a different part of the city might not trigger it. So we wanted more consistency, more predictability for everybody, and just make those thresholds again more consistent. So that's kind of the things we're sort of setting out to go for. So the proposal, as it was in the discussion draft, and it will be changed when the proposed draft to some degree, it's all projects in any zone, and actually that doesn't include employment in industrial or open space, but so all projects in mixed use, residential zones, those will trigger this requirement that's creating more than 10,000 square feet of a new building. So they would trigger the requirement, but then the requirement itself has changed somewhat. So the focus of the requirement under this proposal would actually be a sign. And I brought a draft of the sign just kind of as a mock-up for you to see generally what we'd be looking at. It wouldn't be vinyl, but this is the size that it would be required to be. And this would be required to be posted on the site. At the same time, the applicant would send an email to the Neighborhood Association, District Coalition, and Business Association. And then there's a second threshold. If the project creates more than 40,000 square feet of new building, the applicant is responsible for holding a public meeting. So the responsibility for making sure the meeting happens now falls on the applicant under this proposal rather than on the neighborhood association. And those are the key parts of the proposal. So we wanted to broaden that reach. So requiring the sign is a big part of it, because this means that anybody who happens to pass by the site would actually be able to see that something's coming, and requiring a meeting for larger projects. And that's intended to get at the fact that if neighborhood associations in some areas of the city don't have the capacity to respond to the applicant's request for a meeting now, we want to make sure that that meeting still happens for those very large projects. So making the process more consistent and predictable, the developer is always responsible for the notice and meeting. The timeline is more consistent. This proposal would say you have to get your sign up and your email up 35 days before you submit for a permit. You have 14 days after that, and then you can have the meeting, but the meeting has to happen before 14 days before the permit is submitted. So you have about 7 days in the middle there that you could do that meeting, but you always have 35 days. So make the thresholds more consistent. So all building permits, and also if you're coming in for a land use review, if you know you're going to be doing more than 10,000 square feet, that would trigger the requirement. So whichever comes first, the permit application or the land use review, you would have to meet the neighborhood contact requirement. Trade-off is that some smaller projects in some areas that would trigger the requirement now would no longer under this proposal. And this proposal does include a change to 33.846.060, which is the historic resource review. So right now, neighborhood contact requirement is triggered by projects that are in the A overlay, in the Albina Community Plan, and the Outer Southeast Community Plan if they create more than 3 dwelling units or 10,000 square feet of gross building area. So this would be raising, so projects that are smaller that currently would trigger it would not anymore. If they create less than 40,000 square feet, they wouldn't require a meeting. So there's some trade-offs in there with shifting the focus to the sign. So the sign is actually, would be owned, of course, by the Bureau of Development Services, which would own an InDesign template that the applicants would be required to use for this. And we wanted just to have enough information on there, but not too much, which is the BDS graphic designers have been very helpful in pointing out to me all the information that I want to have on there is way too much information. So it's been sort of a tension between me wanting more words and them wanting more white space, but they're right always. So this would be owned by the Bureau of Development Services and could be revised and used for other sign needs as needed. So, and if there's a meeting, then that would be advertised on the sign so that people would be able to find out about the meeting just by looking at the sign. We're also included in the drafts, we're including along with the draft sign, there's also some draft sort of supplemental material handouts for the applicant and for meeting attendees. That of course will also be owned by BDS, which will revise those materials and move forward with them, but we wanted to mock them up to have an idea of how that would look. So next steps, we'll be releasing a proposed draft end of June and then the PSC hearing in August. And that's it. So that was a lot compressed into a short period of time. So anybody have any questions?
I have a few. Would you mind going back to the slide that describes the various changes or the, you know, this, I think, is the slide.
Well, there's key.
Yeah, maybe two. This. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's actually the next one is what I was wondering about. So in the second bullet, in the sub-bullet, I think I missed the part where you were describing the timeline.
Yeah.
So am I correct in understanding that the unlike our current process, which is what you started off with, whereby the applicant has to wait until the notice requirement is met, now they just have to make sure that it's done before 14 days before the permit is issued? Is that what you said?
No. So right now they, so the applicant sends a letter, a certified letter to the neighborhood association, mm-hmm. and then they have to wait 14 days for a response. And if they don't hear back, then they can, or if they hear back no, then they can go ahead and submit after that 14 days window is over. If they do hear back, then that meeting, they have to go to the meeting if it takes place within 45 days of the initial letter date. And so it could be, you know, 45 days after that initial letter is sent till they can come in. But with our proposal, we're saying it's 35 days from the sign and the email that are sent out at the same time to the time when you can submit your application for a permit or for a land use review process. The 14 days, so there's 14 days after you do the email and the sign, and that's how long it has to be before the meeting can happen. So the meeting has to happen at least 14 days after that if there's a meeting required. And the meeting also has to happen 14 days before you submit your application. So there's kind of a window of time in there where you can put in the meeting, but you can, the whole thing should be 35 days. So it's a lot more predictable. Otherwise it's 14 or 45. You don't know which also creates some incentives for people to play kind of loosey goosey with saying whether or not they got a response. So we just want to say there is always going to be 35 days.
So in no event, however, will there be a lack of opportunity if a meeting is required for the neighborhood association or anyone else for that matter to participate in a public meeting such that they could have like testimony or whatever during a hearing, right?
Well, so I mean, this is a conversation just between the developer and the neighborhood association.
Yeah.
So we would encourage people to reach out to the neighborhood association, and actually all of the feedback that I've gotten is that developers would much rather do the presentation at the meeting whenever possible.
Right.
But what it says is that the applicant is responsible for making sure that meeting happens. If the neighborhood association can't or won't host it, we want to make sure it happens.
Okay. I've just noticed that it seems as though a lot of times the windows are so short that there's very little time, even after the presentation, for folks to, you know, get comment. I mean, we talk about trying to get letters together for hearings that we find out about the day before, you know, that sort of thing. And so I just wanted to make sure that nothing in the changes with this timeline are going to exacerbate that problem, because it seems as though.
Oh, yeah, no. And actually, one of the things that I have heard a lot in talking to people about this is that people want to know about projects really early.
Yeah.
So that if the developer has any flexibility, there's an opportunity to make changes before things get really nailed down. This actually, I think, because it's required before the land use review or the building permit application, whichever comes first, it actually creates an opportunity, I think, for earlier kind of heads up about projects. And I think it will ultimately give people a little more time if there is going to be a land use review process for them to kind of prepare for their comments. But that process, the land use review timeline is not affected by this at all. This would happen before.
So when you say a land use process, so you mean the LU, which means that they could conceivably have submitted an EA and gotten a few DARs in, right, by the time this is all happening. Was there any consideration, and is there any downside to notifying the neighborhoods at the time there's a early assistance or DA?
That would be a separate conversation. And I think there's, you know, this project definitely is making a lot of people think about notification and those communications in general. So we're getting, you know, comments and testimony along those lines, but that would be separate from
this
project. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question just about the neighborhood meetings themselves. I've definitely run into situations where, you know, there might be an established neighborhood association, but they're not necessarily very robust. In other words, they may be sort of dominated by like a couple people and no one else typically goes. Have you considered adding sort of a, you know, a minimum number of people at a meeting, or just making sure that the meeting itself has a relatively broad representation?
Yeah, I mean, the question of like sort of who's at the table, I think, is always the question for all of our processes. You know, right now, this process, the neighborhood contact thing as it is happening in this weird space that's really before the city's jurisdiction. This is before any kind of, the city doesn't even know about it. If somebody calls about these projects, that's another awkward thing about the sign, is that if somebody calls the city about this sign, we don't even know about it yet. So it's all happening kind of this strange space. And the requirement is really about creating an opportunity for conversation. And actually, one of the people I was talking to at a neighborhood association meeting, he couched it as like, this is an opportunity to be pleasantly surprised, was the way that he described it. So we don't really have a lot of, if we start putting requirements on those meetings, it's just a strange, I really see there are multiple tracks of communication in these processes. There's sort of a technical, like, is this meeting the code requirements or not conversation that's happening with the city. This is about the conversation between the developer and the neighbors, really, about things that aren't necessarily required, but can it be helpful to both parties or to all parties. So with all that said, we don't have a lot of control, and if we start setting requirements, the enforcement of that would be exceedingly difficult. And then that would put us in the business of trying to decide who should be at those meetings and making sure they're there. So it's really tricky, but it's getting at the heart of what we hear from a lot of people, which is that we want to be at the table and we want other people to be at the table, and we want a variety of perspectives. So I wish that there were ways we could support that, but we can't require it with this, I'd say.
I mean, maybe there's even a way on the sign to kind of encourage just more public participation, you know, so that if you see something, oh, there's a meeting, oh, but that's probably just for the neighborhood association, you know what I mean? So I'm I guess I'm trying to get at maybe creating a little bit more of a welcoming, you know, your comments are important something.
We could definitely look at that. Just to say everybody's welcome. This is,
Let me have a follow-up question. So just from something you said, so the sign's going to potentially go up before you guys know anything about.
Yeah, it would.
So there won't be, I mean, is there a way to let the applicant like put a website or something up where they're going to link to that and there's not going to be anything there.
Yeah.
So it's going to be frustrating to go, ooh, there's a notice about it, and go here and then there's nothing there. So maybe there's a spot where the applicant could have their own link or something.
And that would be something they could put in here. In the admin rule that we drafted that will be adopted later. It says put that in if it's there. What we can't do is require them to have a website, or to answer these emails, or to answer this phone.
Right.
But we want to create that opportunity.
Yeah,
I hear you. Good to happen. But yes, absolutely.
Are you? And I'm too old to know anything about it. But those things, those little like barcodes.
QR.
You know, have their QR up there so they could.
Yeah.
If it's a template, you have to build in the opportunity for someone who wants to do that, maybe to do it.
Yeah, and I think that that's definitely something that we would like to make available to people. There are required things that have to be in here, but there's flexibility for applicants to use it a little bit more creatively. But we want there to be a uniform look. We would like people to get in the habit of seeing these signs and understanding what they mean. And so there's this consistent look. On this one, we do include a box there that's like, you know, this is BDS's official box. That was just kind of to create a conversation about, is this something that BDS might want to do for use this sign and post like land use review notices as the project moves forward? Would there be a way to integrate all those notices into here? And that's kind of an ongoing conversation. If you do that, you run the risk of like, this is a sign created by the applicant that's not signed off on by the city. So the content, even if it's all accurate at the time the sign is made, it will change during the project. And so there's a lot of questions about that. So I don't think we'll have that box in the next draft, but it's something that could be added. So there's kind of a lot of opportunity in the creation of this sign template.
I'm sure it meets the sign code too, right?
Yeah. 4x8.
Better check that.
So the meeting box may or may not be there because
depending on the size of the project.
If it's too small, it'll just say, will it say no meeting required, or will somebody think that there might be one at some point in the future? Maybe it would be helpful just to say, you know.
That's a good point. We had only made this one template, but I think you're right that it does. If people get in the habit of seeing that, it would be better to have it say, like, there's no meeting required for this.
I guess I'm just in a bigger picture. I'm wondering a little bit about the small sites versus really large sites. And, you know, I appreciate that you're going to have this very consistent sort of cutoff if it's, you know, if it requires a land use review and the development is 10,000 square feet, then, you know, you've got to have a meeting. But it just seems like that 10,000 square feet has so little impact sometimes on a really big site and then so much impact on a small site. But I don't know what to suggest on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you thought about that.
We've gotten a lot of testimony about, or comments at this point, and we will get, I'm sure, a lot of testimony about what size of a project makes an impact on a community to the extent that a heads up is important. And everybody has a different perspective on what's a big project.
Sure.
But yeah, we've grappled with that one.
Yeah.
I think, you know, FAR would be probably a more reflective of sort of the size of the project related to the size of the lot, but that it would be the way that the intake system works, it'd be very difficult to have that be the threshold, the sort of the metric that we're using. But yeah, that's a question I have not solved.
I just had a quick question just to make sure I'm clear on the requirements for the meeting. I mean, when they require a meeting for the projects of over 40,000 square feet, will they have just kind of a generic public meeting, or is this a meeting to coincide with the neighborhood association meeting?
The sort of the code just requires that there be a meeting. Okay. The supporting material would be, we encourage you to reach out and to coordinate that with the neighborhood association, because people are in the habit of going to that place at that time. Like, it's just, and you have a lot more people who have experience with these processes, so it can be much more productive.
Right now it's required, correct?
Right now it's required to offer the meeting to the neighborhood association, and they have 14 days to respond to that. And you can imagine that does not always go smoothly.
Right. And in this case, though, that you're just encouraging it, so it would no longer be a requirement.
Yeah, it's not a requirement that it be at the neighborhood association meeting. My sense is that most applicants would try pretty hard to have it be at the neighborhood association, because it seems to generally be agreed that that would be in everybody's benefit, but it does not have to be.
Is there any way to track that information if that were to come into play, just to...
Yeah, I mean, so all of the communications have to be submitted to the city with the application. So yes, we could track that.
Yeah, it'd be curious to me that, you know, if that is indeed a problem, then we should be tracking it to make sure that they're, you know, are they straying away from the neighborhood association mm-hmm. meetings 100%, or are they actually availing themselves of that opportunity?
Yeah.
Because that to me is kind of gets to the heart of making sure that the policy that you develop is kind of accomplishing the things that you want it to.
Okay.
Not that you guys need something else to do. All right. Any other comments?
Nope. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. So, okay. So the